Welcome to Lugano Picos United Church online service on Sunday, 11th of July, 2021. I'm Irun Kim, the minister of LPUC. This week is so-called NAIDOC Week, which stands for the National Aborigines and Islanders Day Observance Committee Week. NAIDOC Week invites the nation to embrace First Nations cultural knowledge and understanding of country as part of Australia's national heritage, cultures, and values of all Australians. It is an opportunity for all Australians to come together to celebrate the rich history, diverse cultures, and achievement of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples as the oldest continuing cultures on the planet. And also equally respect the culture and values of Aboriginal peoples and Torres Strait Islanders as they do the cultures and values of all Australians. A few weeks ago, I went to the Australian Museum to see Unsettled exhibition. And that is the first nations-led and informed exhibition and based on research. It gives us an insight into the lived experience of our First Nations history and culture. I think it is really worthwhile to go and see Unsettled exhibition. And this morning I would like to begin this service by acknowledging the traditional owners of the land on which we and you gather today, and pay our respects to their elders past and present. We acknowledge the stories, traditions, and leading cultures of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples on this land and commit to building a brighter future together. Today I'm going to read Psalm 24, a Psalm of David, as call to worship. Listen. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and pure heart, who doesn't trust in an idol or swear by the false god. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is he, this King of Glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of Glory. Today I'm going to light this candle. Light this candle as a symbolic action to recognize God's presence in every moment. Especially at this time of current pandemic, Christ's light shines. Let us watch God by prayer. Loving God, creator of all that we can see, feel, and hear, we thank you for being in our lives, for sharing our fears and our hopes, for loving us as we are, not who others think we should be, not who wish we were, but who we are. Your beloved children, creating your image to be in this land and this time. Lord, we come this day to worship you. Please make our hearts ready to receive your word for us and help us to be like you, to see the good in those around us and not to judge others. Guide us as we try to live a life that honors you and makes the lives of those around us better every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It is time to worship. God is here. Let us worship God together by listening or singing the first song, Speak, O Lord. Speak, O God.
Hello, my name is Lance, and today's Bible reading is from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to be to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. This is the words of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Ephesians, as a letter, was written by Paul, not to one church, but to many churches in one area, Ephesus. As Paul greets everyone, he outlines the most important thing they all share, Jesus Christ. In our area, there are many Christian churches, Lugano Anglican Church, Samoan Congregational Christian Church in Lugano at Forest Road, Our Lady of Fatima Catholic Church in Peakhurst, Church at the Peak, George Diva Life Church, St. Matthew Uniting Church. The list may go on and on. You might name some people you have known in some of these churches in our area. Or your child or your grandchild might be going to Scouts or playing on a sports team with someone from another church in the area. All of these churches worship differently and have different ideas about many things. But all of them agree on one thing: Jesus is Lord. That makes all brothers and sisters in God's big family. The language used in Ephesians 1, adoption, throws us into an understanding that we are God's chosen people, and that God's grace extends to all people in all times. Using the metaphor of adoption, Paul helps us understand the extent to which God cares for humanity. Adoption, both in modern times and in the first century, signals a person's inclusion into a new family in name, loyalty, and inheritance. Adoption in the family of God includes an inheritance of eternal life with God. This would have been particularly significant to people in the first century, as not Jews but Gentiles were considered outside the faith and the family of God. Yet this passage emphasizes that God has included all people since the beginning of time. As we reflect on the passages today, let us ponder these questions. What does it mean to be adopted by God? How do you describe God's lavishing grace? How does the concept of lavishing grace change the way you and your church interact with the world, interact with the community? How do we experience this inclusion today? Is your church welcoming? Is that how people who visit your church would describe you? If so, why? If not, what can we do about it? In what ways does your congregation have trouble welcoming newcomers, guests? What about you personally? Today we are going to study the first chapter of Ephesians. Ephesians is one of Paul's letters, especially to Christians in Ephesus. If you like, you may open up your Bible to follow this message, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. In my Bible it is on page 827, but your Bible might be different. So the best way to find where Ephesians is in your Bible is to look at content at the front of your Bible. Then you can find the page number of this book. And Ephesians is a part of New Testament and it is the 10th book on the list. For your information, Ephesians was written around AD 61 while Paul was in prison in Rome. Paul wrote this letter to strengthen the Christians in the church of Ephesus, as well as to encourage them performing their services and holiness in response to God's saving grace. In terms of some information about Ephesus, look at the map. Ephesus was located on the west coast of the Roman province of Asia Minor, that is now Turkey. I have been there twice. Ephesus was home to the temple of Artemis, as known as Diana, which was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. In Ephesus, there was a large number of Jews, and also there was a synagogue in the city where Paul began his mission work. I guess because of a mixture of religious influence, perhaps more than any other book of the Bible, Paul may emphasize the connection between sound doctrine and right practice. In Ephesians, Paul argues that theology is practical. The point is, in order to live out God's will practically, we must first understand who we are in Christ doctrinally. Now let us look at today's text. I believe the key word for today's passage is the word adoption. And to help you to grasp the concept of today's theme, I would encourage you to bring your imagination. Imagine you are a child and orphan living in poverty. Then there's a couple who are quite well off, desperately long for a child comes to your orphanage. And they see a small face and it is your face. And they say to the person in charge, they want you. And they take you to their home after all of the official procedures. Then they dress you in a new clothes and give you new opportunities. But most of all, they give you a new identity. You are no longer an orphan or no longer a nobody. Now you are their child and heir to everything they own. You have a place in the world. You are no longer a child of poverty, but a child of privilege. What a beautiful thing this would be to happen to any child, particularly one who lives in want. Do you understand that this is your story and my story and our story? And in today's lesson, Paul addresses, you see verse 4, for God chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy. Verse 5, in love, God predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. Do you understand this verse is about you being adopted as a son or daughter of God through Jesus Christ? What we learn from this passage is, firstly, unless you understand what God has done for you, You can never be all God has called you to be. See verse 5 again. In love, God predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. What does it mean? To be adopted through Jesus Christ. This is what Paul meant when he wrote in Romans 5:8. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Do you understand what God has done for you in Jesus Christ? Do you understand what it is to be lost and then be found, as Luke 15:32 states? Do you understand what it is to be blind and certainly able to see, as John 9:25 addresses? Do you understand what it means to be a child in orphanage, unwanted, unloved, and then to be adopted by a loving parent? It may sound ironic, but the greatest barrier for us to truly embrace a new life in Christ is that we already have it so good. To be sure, there are challenges that each of us face. It is hard to be Christian when you are surrounded by so much affluence. Then you may say, why do I need God? Because, I can get all my daily needs met by mammon, which means money or wealth. I guess at least that is how it may appear to some of us mind. According to research and statistics, prosperity and affluence distract the people from regular church attendance and reduce a strong sense of need to be in church, gradually eroding not just church attendance, but Christian identity. Another barrier for us to truly embrace a new life in Christ is that growing up in a Christian culture may even work against us to a certain extent. Some of us have been in the church all our lives, and we have had loving families who supported us and nurtured us in healthy values. How can we be lost? How can we need saving? Some of us just don't get it. We have been in church all our lives. The Christian life is just a synonym for respectability and morality and fitting in. We don't quite get it when Michael Green says, Jesus didn't come to make bad men good, but to make dead men live. We don't think of ourselves as dead in our sins, our immoralities. And yet, if Christ doesn't live in our hearts, that is exactly what we are. Matthew 23:27, once Jesus called us whitewashed tombs. He was speaking to the Pharisees, but he is also speaking to anyone who has the form of godliness but not in spirit. Some of us will do exercise and seek a new body. Others will go back to study more about a certain skill and try to improve their mind. Still others may seek out some kind of on-the-job training in order to advance professionally. But what Christ offers you is an opportunity for an entirely new life. A new attitude, a new sense of identity, a new heart, as it were, all this Christ offers. But that is unlikely to happen unless we understand what God has done for us. The second thing we learn from the text is that Christ died for us that we might live for Him. Paul calls us a chosen people. Israel was a chosen people, chosen to be a light unto the world. In the same way, we are a chosen people, chosen to be God's people. What a privilege we have to become God's chosen people. See verses 7 and 8. And now, we could enjoy a free access to our Heavenly Father because of redemption and forgiveness through Jesus Christ. So redemption, forgiveness, and adoption all go together. We become His sons and daughters because of the lavish outpouring of His grace on us. Do you remember the first time you are chosen for anything. It will be a real blessing to be chosen, since you may have desired for that. Being chosen by God can be a mixed blessing for those who go into it without understanding what God desires of us. In the Old Testament, the prophets tried to remind Israel that God chose them to be blessed, but also that God chose them to be a blessing to others. That is why God chose us as well. God has blessed us. We have to be a blessing to others. Furthermore, there is one thing more to say. You know, we have been adopted that we might grow into the likeness of Christ. Some children who have been adopted may anguish, distress themselves that they have never known their real parents. They do not understand that when people have loved you and raised you and nurtured you in every way, they are your real parents. It is a lifetime commitment to be an adoptive parent, one who chooses to love and be responsible for another human being. God is our adoptive parent, whose love is beyond measure. But here is what we need to understand. The purpose of our adoption is that someday we shall reflect the nature of God's Son, Jesus Christ. I read a story about a boy whose parents were missionaries to India. When the boy was 12 years old, his parents left him and his younger brother to go to India and take up their tour of duty there. Their intention was that once they get settled there, they would send for the boys. But shortly after they left the state, World War II broke out. They couldn't get to the boys and they couldn't get the boys to them. So the separation between the missionaries and their sons went on for something like, 8 years. When the war was over, the parents returned to the States. Their oldest son was 20 years old and in university. He recalled how excited he was when he got the word that his parents would soon arrive in their hometown by train. When the train finally pulled in a very early morning, even before the sun came up, the mother and father got off the train. The son wrote these words: "When my mother came close to me, she took my hand and led me into the light of the waiting room. There were tears running down her cheeks as she looked at me. She kept looking at my face, staring hard. Then she turned to my dad and called him by name. She cried, 'He's gone, and look at him. He's just like you. He looks just like you.'" That's what God desires out of each of us, that we reflect the nature of God's Son, Jesus Christ. You can see banner behind me. You can see this word: connect with the people in Jesus, build each other up in faith, become like Jesus. In our mission statement, it is clearly stated that our reason for being as an individual and cooperative in this community is to become like Jesus, to be Christ-like. So what did you learn from this message? What would you take today from the message? I'll just sum up the message. First, unless you understand what God has done for you, you can never be all God has called you to be. Christ died for us that we might live for Him. Thirdly, we have been adopted that we might grow into the likeness of Christ. How about you? Are you there yet, or are you still on the outside looking in? Do you understand what God has done for you? Do you understand how much God loves you? Are you ready to go? Are you ready to go beyond your desire and beyond your plan to a new life and new purpose and new identity as one who belongs to God? I believe you are. Amen. Let us worship God by listening or singing another song forever.
Good morning, my name is Josiah and I'll be leading us for the prayer for the people. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Almighty, gracious and loving God, we are all gathered here this morning to come to you in prayer. We are thankful, Lord, for the wonderful gift of praying. It is a time where we open our hearts and minds to you. It is also a place of solace and peace. May your Holy Spirit open up our eyes and ears, so that we may hear and receive your message today, Lord Jesus. May it also open up our hearts to not only accept your message, but to also live our life in accordance with your message. We, the members of the Lagana Pekish United Church, are a family united by Christ, in Christ, and for Christ. At this time, Lord, I want to lift up in prayer the concerns and hardships of my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Whatever they may be, financial, mental, spiritual, physical, emotional, may your Holy Spirit bring peace upon us all. I pray for comfort and strength to be upon us all. I pray for every single member of the Lagana Pekas United Church. Whatever they may be going through, Lord, in their personal lives, I pray for your peace, comfort, strength, love, discernment to be upon them. Lord, I pray for our communities, the city of Sydney, our state, and the nation as a whole. There is hatred, division, anger, frustration, panic, hopelessness, stress amongst us. And I pray that where there is hatred, may you show us your love. Where there is division, may we be united by Christ, in Christ, and for Christ. Where there is frustration and anger, may you show us your patience and understanding. Where there is panic, a sense of hopelessness and stress, I pray for peace and for hope, and that you may surround us in your arms, Heavenly Father. We lift up Reverend Iwung and his family up to you in prayer. We are grateful for the love and dedication that Reverend Iwung and his family have shown to not only us, his church family, but also to the wider community. At this time, Lord, we pray for our chairperson of the church council, Pamela Hannah, and the members of the church council. As they continue to discuss church matters, we pray for your discernment to be with them. We pray for our church missions. We pray for Natalie and her team that run mainly music on a weekly basis. We also pray for Jan and her team that organize and run Message Church. We are thankful for their continuous commitment to run mainly music and Message Church, and also the determination to continue with this ministry. We pray for peace, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and love to be upon them all. We also pray for our other various church groups and missions that are run and supported by our church families. May they continue to turn to you, Lord Jesus, for continuous direction and guidance. Lord, we give you thanks for Rob Lewis and the team who worked hard to produce our online services on a weekly basis. We thank you for their commitment and love in organizing and delivering these online services. We pray for our Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, and State Leader, Gladys Berejiklian, their cabinet and team of experts. We pray that they will turn to you, Lord Jesus, for the wisdom and knowledge as they continue to lead our nation and state from this pandemic. And we pray that they continue to lean on you for your guidance, Lord Jesus, through it all. Lord Jesus, I pray that as members of the congregation, may we continue to put our focus on you. May we continue to love one another, encourage one another, care for one another, and most importantly, pray for one another. We pray and give thanks for all these things in your mighty name, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
I have a few announcements today. Firstly, Message Church. Remember last Sunday I mentioned about, you know, home activity kit being delivered to those families who registered for June Message Church. That was cancelled, of course, due to the lockdown. And I've got a message from one family, and so I'd like to read this message to you. Hello, dear Message Church team. I just want to say how grateful we are for your love and support. We received a fun paper pack yesterday from Message Church. It totally made our days. Thank you for being so caring and thoughtful. We are totally feeling loved. You are truly angels of God. And the message on the puzzle is what I really needed, and I believed it so too. Lots of love and gratitude to you all beautiful people. Wow. What a lovely and encouraging message. Thank you for this message. There is supposed to have another message, July message on Sunday 25th of July, which is just 2 weeks time. But because of the current uncertainty of COVID situation and restriction, we have to wait and see how things are going. So we'll keep you posted about the plan as soon as there is a clear guideline and decision about that. However, if you want to contact with us, then please do so via email or phone. Our church has been hearing about young families' experience of church by interviews and by the street survey over the last couple of months. It was great opportunities to understand how we can grow together. We are now putting things together, putting the findings together to share with the people at LPC. But, firstly, if you have been part of this process in any kind of way, I'd like to say thank you. Thank you for providing encouragement and prayers, sharing insights, practical resources, or getting involved directly and or indirectly. Growing with young people and young families matters in the life of church. We will continue to pray and put our efforts to grow together in Jesus Christ. So if you wants to know more about that, or if you have any question, or if you want to connect with us, then contact us by email. And if you have any prayer points that our prayer team to pray and support you, please don't hesitate to contact us. We have great prayer team can support you and pray for you. This is a blessing. Children of God, celebrate the life you have been given. Live your life with all your might as a dance to God's glory. Live to the praise of God's glory. Go secure in the knowledge of God's guidance, assured of Jesus' abundant grace, and equipped with the power of the Holy Spirit, both now and always. Amen. This is the end of today's online service. Thank you for your participation. Hope you have a very safe and blessed day and week. See you next week. I got no worries, got no woes. Feeling happy, that's me.